Welcome to GamerCast, episode 56. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And we are recording live on the 21st
of January.
8 days till... Vista.
Somebody is overexcited.
Yeah. I get excited when new stuff comes out, you know. Burning Crusade comes out.
Woo!
Wii comes out.
Woo!
Vista comes out. Woo! It's like Christmas.
Right, Burning Crusade. Some dude's got to level 70 already.
Really?
Yeah, this has been on the page for like an hour now.
I just saw level 70 and just... Oh my god, first level 70.
28 hours later, the first level 70. This is from britishgaming.co.uk. I'll just read the whole thing out. Oh wow, posted for Games for Windows.
Games for Windows.
How marketing centric. If you don't know what the Burning Crusade... We know the Burning Crusade extends level 60 in WoW to level 70. So yeah, we know all that. Well, WoW nerds, you've got a new nerd king. Some dude who's French and 24 has sat for like 28 hours solid and leveled from level 60 to 70. In 28 hours, for what Blizzard wanted players to take the best part of a year on. Well, good for him. Hope he feels pleased with himself.
I hope he's got other characters to try and level up, because he'll have nothing else to do now. It's like he's completed the game, but fair enough, there's loads of stuff. I imagine he probably wouldn't even be able to get halfway through most of the quests, and he's got level 70, it means he'll be the first people to be activating with all the flying mounts and stuff. One thing that I do like about WoW is they say, right, cap level, the game doesn't stop there, you've just got more stuff. There's a whole load of stuff for people that finish it, and then there's all the stuff while you're getting there, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Also in the news, there was a baby playing a Wii, playing Zelda.
Really?
Yeah, I would have the link to show you, but Catherine's not giving me the link, so.
Legend of Zelda. I need to play some more of that. I'm half tempted to unplug my Wii and put it upstairs in my bedroom and hook it up to my Dell monitor. The only problem is I'd have to see. I could put it where the GameCube is, but the GameCube's at the other end of the room, which means that the sensor won't reach the TV. So I'm gonna have to swap it the cables over for where the cables are for the old DVD player. Wow.
No, this is Wii now we're talking about.
Yes, Wii. Sorry, I shouldn't use acronyms like that. So easy, a baby can use it. I'm sure she's not.
So yeah, there's this baby who's 14 months old playing Zelda with the Wii.
Obviously probably not doing really, really well, but I imagine her interaction between the little wand and everything is pretty cool.
So let's just read a bit out of this. I was pleasantly surprised to find my daughter whooping ass in Zelda. Shocked, really. And then the article goes on to say, so did he walk in and discover that the baby had figured out how to turn on the Wii, insert the disc, start the game, and had beaten the third level boss? Or was it more like he put the game on pause and baby started playing randomly? So yeah, I don't think she actually turned the machine on and set it all up and everything.
I'm liking what he's got there, look. On his doorway, he's actually
got
the hooks
hung up, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way of doing it.
Well, yeah, it's better than just, you know, chucking it in there.
I like that.
Yeah, we're going to have to copy you, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get some plastic hooks and hang them up when I get my new setup for my Wii.
So, yeah, the fundamental thing going on with this, according to Catherine, is it's cute.
Okay, it is cute. She's wearing pink. She's got pink socks on. She's
And he's got a 360 as well.
Yeah, he's going for the whole vertical thing. That looks like... Yeah.
360 Wii.
What's the black thing on the right-hand side? That better not be a PlayStation 3, though.
Nah, PlayStation 3 wouldn't fit in there.
No, too big. Yeah. PlayStation 3 stands taller than an Xbox 360 anyway, doesn't it?
I don't know. Catherine says it looks like a PS2.
Yeah, it might be.
Which means the old 360 one is actually smaller than a PS2. Or at least, you know.
It might be a PS3.
Height-wise.
depends where this is.
No, it's not a PS3, is it? Because a PS3's got the stupid curved...
Yeah.
Stupid curved thing, you know. Then a PS3 wouldn't fit, no.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's some fun. So what we're going to do now is... We're going to let Adam go on about the Burning Crusade for a bit.
Yeah. So
the advantage of this is if we get it all done in this show, it means next week we'll be free of WoW.
Free of WoW, even though you're playing it now, but...
Yeah, but I'm not playing it enough that I want to talk about it 24/7.
No, I just thought it'd be good to do a review on it. It's a video game, it's the only one I'm playing.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Good game.
If it wasn't multiplayer, nobody would touch it with a barge pole. Because the gameplay in it is boring.
Well, it's the only type of gameplay that they've actually been able to design so far that's any good for massive multiplayer online.
Oblivion. Yeah, so come on, get on.
Imagine Oblivion, massive multiplayer.
That, yeah, you'd have all these noobs running around jumping and stuff.
You'd love it. You'd spend all day kicking people's ass.
What, a level 2 guy?
Chop your head off. I'm there and I'm really role-playing it and... You know, Cat comes up and goes, "Hi," and I'm like, "Hi." You go, "Oh, have you seen Paul?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll be passing through here in 5 minutes." All we see is you going, "Wah!" running through the streets with around about half the town guards chasing you because you decided to hit the wrong person, like you do in Oblivion. There's a guard that's hit him on the head to see what happens. You can just imagine that I'm there, like, "Hi, Paul." He's like, "Hi, Paul, bye, Paul." You go, "Wah!" with a big sword through the street. I could so see you doing that if they made Oblivion. An RPG, massive multiplayer online game.
Well, in WoW, I've actually turned into this mining freak, so all I do is go around mining.
Mining, and what is your profession afterwards? Do you...
Blacksmithing.
Cool. Have you noticed if they've been adding anything else into the blacksmithing for the slots? For putting jewels in, from jewel crafting into it?
Well, I just make armour.
Right.
Well, I just make stuff.
From the expansion pack, which is available for everyone else, so like Paul, who doesn't have the expansion pack, he will still be able to access this stuff. Certain armor will have slots in, which allows you to upgrade by putting crystals in, so you've got crystals sticking out of your armor, which pumps up the buff.
Crystals? What are you, an elf? Get back to Elfland.
Elfland. I am living in Elfland, because I'm a...
But yeah. I'm a gnome. No, I'm a dwarf. I'm Ponty. Yeah. At least dwarfs are cool, man. Last thing we need is you being an elf, poncing around.
I've only got three characters. I've got an elf druid.
Druid. Oh, that's the last thing we need.
Yeah, turning into animals. Druid. Whoa. And I've got a dwarf paladin, who's a miner and blacksmith. And I have a Drunai shaman that has...
Oh, a shaman? Mining. Oh, that's the last thing we need, poncing around.
Mining and jewel crafting. So I make rings. The one ring to rule them all and stuff like
that. Yeah, I mine copper and sell it for loads of money.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it because some people cannot be arsed and they go and they're like, "Well, I've got all this money, what should I spend it on?" Well, I'll spend it on buying something to build something else to get more money for that armour. So I would go like that.
I can sell 10 copper ore for like 1 gold 50.
Yeah, and people will buy it because they've got that money from selling armour.
And I've got 100 copper ore in my bag at the moment.
It's really good if you find an area where it keeps respawning and you just go around. And you just go around killing all the stuff and then go back, do all your copper, then kill some more stuff, then come back and do all your copper. I love doing that with my... There's a certain area in where the dwarves are where I just keep going around with copper, and some tin.
But I need tin, that's what I need. Yeah, I need to make bronze.
You need to get up a little bit higher... level areas and you'll start seeing them popping up.
Yeah, I know. My guy is level 21 and my other guy is level 22.
You got 22 as well?
Dudenov is 22.
Really? I thought you'd stop playing with him as much.
Yeah, he's still level 22. Oh. That's where I left him off.
See, Paul rocks at this game. He's always about WoW, but Paul does rock at this game. He's going to be level 60 way before I am. So my dwarf's level 27 and I don't play them.
Well, no, I would be level 60, but I have to do this thing called Gamercast.
Yeah.
I could be playing WoW right now.
I know. I'm
In
sorry.
Fact, I am going to play WoW right now. Don't tempt me, man.
So yeah, I've started going through with the Drunai storyline.
The Draenei people.
I must admit, it's quite nice. It's, as they say on the DVD, they've kept everything very close and compact with the fact that it's set on three islands, off the shore from the island where the elves come from. So it's an elf
style. The last thing we need is an elf poncing round.
It's an elf style island, but it's all been mutated because all the crystals that make up their ship that crash landed.
Ship, crash, sure, whatever.
Have mutated all the wildlife, so everything are all.
Oh, so it's
wildlife.
Like Tiberium from Command and Conquer.
Yeah. So it's got an elf but an alien sort of feel to it. Storyline's quite nice. The other good thing is, unless you go to the Exodore spaceship, which is the city for that race, and actually get on the boat and go back to the mainland, you cannot get off the mainline unless you've already been off once to get the griffin. So you can confine yourself to this small area to just find yourself not wandering and exploring too much, so you can get on, do quests. Because I have a problem where I love exploring. When I was like dwarf, I'm like, ooh, what's over here, what's over here, and I could have spent the same amount of time like Paul spent, kill quest kill level.
I'm a miner
and you're mining at the moment, where I would just spend the whole entire time exploring and then dying because I walk into an area where I'm too lower level.
Nah, noob.
Well, the good thing is now I've near enough explored all of the island by the third one, because that's a higher level area, and I've just said no, I won't go into there until the quests take me up there. And I'm just questing at the moment. I'm really enjoying the storyline.
Can you swim between the islands?
There's no real need, because the water, you can swim, but there are bridges. One of them doesn't have a bridge, but the water is, the distance is close enough that there's no black deep water where you will have to tread and drown, so you can do the full length and just swim it if you want to.
Fun.
So it is pretty cool. The other good thing is you make your first acquaintance with the Alliance as well, because the Alliance Navy, there's a couple of galleon ships harboured on one side of the island, so you meet some travellers, and there's each one of the races are there, so that you can do some quests with them. So the storyline goes through about the Exodore and all the people of the Draenei after the crash landing, and the Blood Elves have already got an encampment trying to get at the crystals from the Exodore because they're after their magical powers and stuff. So the storyline's really interesting, very much in depth. I've only got up to a level 10 character so far with Shaman. Shaman is really nice with it, because I've had a go at doing it with Tauren, and that's got very much kind of like the... Like, the totems are very much like a proper totem, you know, like you would see Native American totems, where the totems for the Draenei...
The last thing we need is a bunch of poncy people walking around.
Yeah, exactly. The totems...
I'm looking at you, you stupid cow people.
Yeah, so I'm... With the Draenei, the totems aren't that sort of style. They're more... They look more like their architecture with crystals and stuff like that. Very
crystals, la-di-da.
Yeah, so...
The last thing we need is a bunch of crystal people around here.
Going la-di-da. So yeah, it's intriguing.
My character is a human, and he doesn't like other races.
He's a miner. He stole our jobs. He's a hick. He's a miner. Does he have a hard?
My guy is a human warrior, and he's not interested in poncing around.
See, that's what you need. That's what they need to do for people that are miners.
He is not gay.
They want to have it so you can get a hard hat with a little candle on the front, so you can be mining all day long.
I've got one of those already.
Have you?
No.
Oh,
I want one. No,
that'd
be
awesome. So cool.
But you can't have hats until you're like level whatever.
I know. I am one level away, because I've got to get to level 28 before I can get the male helm that I bought.
I'll make you some stuff. Just give me some gold and bronze and silver and stuff. And I could do with some iron as well, so give me some iron.
Mm.
And give me all the recipes as well.
Well, when I transfer my dwarven character across, I'll...
The last thing we need is a dwarf poncing around with us.
And I'll be able to pass over some stuff because he's a miner. So I've got loads of stuff.
You better not be a miner. You're not counting around with me, because you'll know my mining spots. I've memorised like every single... mining deposit on the whole map.
Well, see, that's the cool thing, is the fact that fair enough I've got my dwarf who mines, but with having my shaman that's got jewel crafting,
the last thing we need is a shaman wandering around,
which means that I can build stuff that clicks into all of your armor you're making, so you'll be able to make armor. I can put stuff on it, and then you've got more epic style armor.
You can make a crystal and put it in my armor. No thanks, I want my armor to be strong.
Well, it makes it stronger, it gives you buffs.
How could putting crystals in it make it strong?
Yeah, two
ridiculous.
Plus on strength and stuff.
Prove
like
it.
We shall see.
Stop making all these claims.
We shall see. I haven't had a go at using the Blood Elves yet, but I'm not much of a Horde fan, so...
Yeah, but the Blood Elves aren't really Horde, are they? They're like... Well, they're like Alliance that would normally be Alliance, but... Oh, gee, we're Blizzard. We need something put on the Horde. Oh, we'll put a bunch of Elves on there.
Well, that's...
More Elves. That's the last thing we need.
That's exactly... What Blizzard had done is they've gone into the storyline. With playing the expansion pack for Warcraft 3, you see these Elves, which are not Night Elves. They're actually High Elves.
Ooh, High Elves. The most poncy, arrogant Elves there are. That's the last thing we need poncing around.
Exactly. And they were on the Alliance side. And then you've got this other race, I cannot pronounce their name, which were stood side by side with the Burning Legion.
The Burning Legion, they're all talk and no action.
Yeah. With the big wings and the horns and the, ooh, you're not ready.
Yeah, I saw a couple of days before the Burning Legion came out, there are a bunch of like these huge Burning Legion dudes hanging around near Goldshire.
Really?
Yeah, I was buying stuff at that merchant on the, you know, the crossroads there.
Yeah.
And I looked over and I was, and there's all this fire over there. So I wandered up, have a closer look, there's all these Burning Legion dudes wandering around.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And I got killed by them. I tried to take them on.
For freedom! So yeah, what they've done is, they've taken one of the tribes from the race that stood side by side with the Burning Legion and said that they did not want to fall with the rest of their clan, so they escaped the Burning Legion, and that's the Draenei. So they are inherently people that the elves would look at them as evil, but they are trying to accept them because they realize that they're trying to do good. And then you've got the High Elves, which got so addicted to magic that they turned to the Burning Legion for help.
They turned to voodoo magic, man.
And they became the Blood Elves. So it's kind of like they swapped over. So you've got this very menacing large creature with hooves, very demonic blue guy, but he's the good guy.
Because blue is a demonic colour, isn't it?
No. Well, that's the thing, is blue's nice, where you've got the High Elves all in their gold and red, and they're now evil. So it's kind of a swap over.
Oh, yes.
So it
make
means
the red ones evil. So then bourgeois propaganda, they're instantly in there. Blue is a nice colour. Red is evil. Evil.
Well, it goes with the fact they're called Blood Elves, really. And the High Elves wear red robes anyway, so it
yeah,
matches.
Elves have, like, purple blood or something, don't they? Like Mr. Spock. I mean, he's an elf.
Yeah,
he's just
probably
an alien elf.
Yeah, probably that's where he is, aren't they? They're elves.
That's where your idea comes from. Pointy ears. It's an elf. No, it's a leprechaun. Leprechaun! It's the leprechauns! Oh man, that'd be cool. Have leprechauns in the game.
Well, they got gnomes.
Yeah, the last thing we need is a gnome hanging around with us. There's a dude called Dreville who, like, sometimes plays with us. He's a slipping, you know, 2-foot-high gnome with a green beard. And it's like, dude, get away from me.
Step on him.
I don't know where you've been.
They need to have a maneuver where if you've got, like, some sort of warrior-style gnome, that someone can, like, pick him up by the scruff of the neck and throw them at the enemy. He'll just go, ah! You just see this flying gnome screaming this battle cry out of a speech bubble with his sword above his head, and he just lands on some tauren and goes straight to the front of his brain or cavity. That'd be cool. Come on, Blizzard, we want throwing gnomes. I want the ability to throw my gnome.
Did you ever play Simpsons Hit and Run?
Only a little bit.
Did you ever kick someone over?
No.
Oh, well, in the game, you could basically, instead of beating the crap out of someone, you just, like, sort of knocked them over, and they were sort of, you know, wailing around on the ground like that, and you keep kicking them and stuff. That's what they need to have in Warcraft. Kick the gnome over and stamp on him. Take that, Ned Flanders.
Walking along, you've just got this gnome attached to your foot, and it's like, get this thing off me. But yeah, it obviously, a lot of the expansion pack... it comes in three stages, expansion pack. Your first stage is your two new characters, which basically means that for the people that only have the expansion pack can experience that, and you start from the first level onwards. Then you've got your medium part, which is like the jewel crafting, extra dungeons, which is for your medium people, so everybody else, anybody who doesn't even have the expansion pack can experience that. And then for the people that are level 60, you'll have your outworld, your flying mounts, and all your other stuff. So depending where you are, there is something for everyone, for, and if you won't be able to experience everything, you know, like we've said, first person to get level 70 was announced. Soon we'll probably be seeing the first person to get the level 70 on a new race, be it Blood Elf or Draenei. So,
well, the highest level guy I've seen wandering around for one of the new races was on level 23, I think he was.
Once you get probably around about the 20s, I wouldn't be surprised. You'll be working your way off the island and working your way to the higher level areas for the other races. I won't be surprised if some quests set up to try and get you somewhere else.
Well, yeah, basically, the missions on the native lands of these things takes you to level 20.
Like it would with most places, and then you veer off and you go where you want.
Like it did with, for the human races, you've got the place of Stormwind,
Ironforge,
Red Ridge, and Westfall.
Yeah.
And all that. And then for, like, then you go into, Duskfall and all those nasty places.
Where dwarves, you've got all around the snowy parts, and then you go up into...
Last minute, there's a dwarf.
I can't remember the area, but it's all like fern trees, and then you go up to the swamps. But the cool thing about it is, as long as you get as far to be able to get to Stormwind, if you were a human and you were more like, I like this, but I've already done it once with my mage human, and I'm a warrior human, I'll go do the dwarves, because I never played as a dwarf. So you go into the tube and you catch a train across to Ironforge and carry on doing the missions from that end of things. So I like the fact you don't have to play on your own home turf all the time.
You just have to literally get to the other places.
Yeah. But
which is a hard bit. Especially if you're a Poncy elf. Because the last thing is an elf.
But I will put up for anybody for review. Anybody wants to...
We need a pirate race.
You can get pirates. You can get pirate hats. This is the thing that I wouldn't mind them to do an expansion pack for, like Star Wars Galaxy, where they had Jump to Lightspeed, where it was a whole... It was still massive multiplayer, and it was all about your character, but it was set in space and about your spaceship. And the missions were all set around that. And if you didn't want to, you could stay on the planet, and you could still move around from place to place. And if you had a friend that had a multiplayer starship, like a Millennium Falcon style ship, everybody could get in there and you could walk around the ship while some guy's using it like flight simulator and flying around. They need to do something for WoW, because if you put your minds back to Warcraft 2, the whole concept was it was all islands and you were going along and your orcs were in boats and so were your humans, and it was sailing around, getting out, picking up resources and stuff, chopping down trees from nearby islands, building your harbour and stuff. They need to be able to access, because there's a lot more of the planet yet to explore, more islands. It'd be really cool if you could get out into a boat with your guild and your team, and you're sailing around in smaller boats and larger galleons for guilds. And
yeah, you spend 3 weeks trying to sail around the world, and you discover a new continent full of elves. Great.
That's what we need. More elves. Quick.
Shoot a cannon at them.
See, this is why I like the Elder Scrolls. The elves got pwned by the humans. And the humans now have a dominant race.
Well, the elves aren't really that dominant here.
Yeah, but they're poncing around. You see an elf everywhere. They like breed like rabbits.
They're like rabbits. No, I don't need to start thinking about that when I'm playing Warcraft. Humping elves.
There's
like
enough
rabbits
jumping around in the game as well.
Yeah, but you can kill them if you want.
I'm not allowed to kill nice things.
Have you been told off? You've been killing too many cows again, haven't you?
I only killed a couple of cows.
I remember you doing it all the time when you were playing with me. Anything that walked, I'm surprised you didn't attempt to kill me when I stopped for a few seconds just to try and read what quest I was doing, because I have to read them a couple of times to get what I'm doing. And then, I turn around and everything...
Put it this way, if I could target you without having to do the whole jaw battle, I would do that all the time. Nothing would get someone moving than a quick whack right ahead with my sword.
Well, now in this expansion pack, I'm looking into it, but now you can do battling in your group, so you can have your little group party and you can attack each other and stuff now. And there's also areas you can go to and actually fight hero on hero without it being like dueling sort of thing. So
it's not much use if I just want to whack him right ahead with my sword, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It would be quite cool in PvP if you could just hit... You couldn't kill the person, but you could wallop them if they were getting annoying.
Yeah. Get a move on. I've got things to kill.
Come on. Have it. But, if anybody out there is a level 60 character, done all the dungeons and everything like that, and does the raids and things. So I haven't got up to that level yet. I'm still down in the lower tier of the game, but I'm quite happily trundling along at my own pace, and I'm enjoying the game. And at the end of the day, this is what this game is about, fun. So if there's anybody out there that's level 60 that's got the expansion pack and has started going off onto Outworld and flying mounts and all that sort of jazz, if you've done all that, if you want to send us a audio review and tell us about it, because obviously it's going to be a while before I get anywhere near there, please send your audio reviews to Gamercast.
feedback@gamercast.net,
as Paul's quoted there. So yeah, my review on the game, very good kick up the ass to some more stuff, because at the end of the day there is lots of new stuff from when the game released this expansion pack, so you know that Burning Crusade is not the end of it. They're going to be adding more and more stuff to the Burning Crusade expansion pack and to everybody else's stuff, so it'll keep growing as usual. So yeah.
So what do you think of the limited edition box type thing?
Yeah. Limited edition box.
This is the last WoW-related topic for the show.
Yeah.
Only a few more minutes.
The only quim that I had about it was the fact that the pet was all screwed up. But the advantage to the pet being screwed up was you get an extra one free now.
Ooh, I want a pet.
Then
I can kill it.
Bar that, I would say I worked it out with Mike at work. The price that you're paying is a hell of a lot cheaper for what's in there. Because as soon as you open it up, you'll get the hardback art book, which is exactly the same as the one that's already out for retail, but about the Burning Crusade game. And
the
Burning Crusade. I bought that for $12.99, the hardback World of Warcraft art book, which is very good.
Catherine says the art book is nice.
It is really nice. It is a lot like some of the other artwork I've already got for my Final Fantasy games and stuff like that. It's a lot of basically
Final Fantasy.
They've scanned in basically all the artwork for the concept designs and stuff like that. So it's really nice to see a lot of it. And also because they pay a lot of time for doing the CG intro, they've done a lot of put in a lot of the artwork and for me, the CG models and stuff of the characters for that in there and stuff, which is really nice. I haven't had a major flick through, but it is good what I've seen. And at the back, they do have all the artwork done by the comic artists for the playing card game, which was nice to see in there.
It comes on DVD.
Yeah, it comes on DVD, which I used to install, which is much nicer because I just left it playing, doing its thing, so I didn't have to keep coming back and changing the disc.
Like I had to do when I installed WoW on my tablet. Disc in drive. Disc in drive. And about 6 hours later, it finished installing. I had to patch it for like 6 months.
Yeah, that's the worst bit.
Yeah, does the burning Duber come with all the existing patches on the disc?
That's the thing that I...
So if I have WoW, I install WoW, then I just install the burning thing, will that patch it to the latest version as of today?
There is one, but it's really small, but I had to wait ages because the thing is I hadn't played WoW for a while, so I didn't have the standard WoW patch. But
that's what I mean. Does it have the WoW patches on the disc? Like the 800 megabyte of patches?
No, they would have to download it. It's only got the stuff for the Burning Crusade.
That's nuts.
As far as I'm aware, I installed it, and then I installed all the other stuff. But it updated, and it was all sorted. But it went really slowly for me, but it's only because my firewall's having a bit of a tantrum at the moment.
They should put all the patches on there for a while.
Yeah, they should have, because that is what they've done with City of Heroes. That's why I bought it again. Because
just an example. New computer, you want to install WoW. You want to carry on your Burning Crusade stuff. You install WoW, then you have to spend 6 hours patching it, and then you install Burning Crusade. Seems kind of dumb.
Well, the good thing was I never actually patched WoW. I already had WoW on, then I put Burning Crusade on, and then it just did the last patch, which I was too lazy to bother installing a couple of weeks ago, so I just left it until now. So it was my own fault. So I had to wait because of that. But I couldn't play it straight away. I had to wait a day before I could.
Well, uninstall it all and see what happens, okay?
Yeah. Where I could have spent that time leveling up. What else is in there? You've got the album for the soundtrack that was created for the Burning Crusade, which was very nicely done.
Fun.
The DVD of the making of everything, which was really interesting to see the developers and them talk about their ideas.
When are you going to do a StarCraft game? Mr. Developer? StarCraft 2, where is it?
And...
Jay, what about StarCraft Ghost? Whatever happened to that, eh?
I know, that just became a ghost in itself. What else was in there? Mind blank.
I think they realised nobody would buy it.
Yeah.
We want a flipping real-time strategy game.
And finally is the cards. You've got 3 limited edition cards, which are very nice. And 2 starter sets, which you can buy, their tenner each normally, so that was quite cool. But I play the card game, so to me it was pretty cool, but it gives you a chance to have a go. The other advantage to it is you get 2, so if you're not really into it and you don't want to play any more ever again, you can just have a muck around with that and think, yeah, this is not me, I prefer to play real WoW, and then leave it at that. But presentation-wise, the box was nice and hard. It was, you know, it felt like it wasn't going to get damaged in it. Unlike the box for Neverwinter Nights 2, and the contents of that I found a little bit flimsy compared to the price you were paying. This you're paying a bit more, you know, $49.99, but what you got in there was really good quality. For a WoW fan, it was a must-have. The only thing I had about it was the fact that on release you couldn't have the pet, but that was just literally the European server and a mistake that happened that was unforeseen. So the only advantage to it is, if all of you are paying attention who have got the limited edition set, you get an extra pet. You get one of those froggy guys, and he's all white with red stripes, and he looks really cool. So I was fairly impressed. Fairly impressed indeed. So yeah, Burning Crusade limited edition, definitely say get your hands on it. There are some still about that you haven't been able to get hold of. I know for a fact that when I went into PC World, they still have a one on the shelf.
I would buy it if it was £4.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think there's enough stuff in there to interest you for you validating spending the money. You know what I mean? Would you be interested in wanting the cards and the art book and all that stuff? No, you wouldn't. You'd be better off just buying the standard one, and to be honest,
just buy the standard one,
and you'd be better off waiting until it's come down in price when your character's got up to near level 60 and the stuff is more relevant to you, because I don't think you want to buy it to go back and play as a Jedi sort of thing. You know, you don't want to start a new character, you like being a human,
so. Well, I don't mind what race I play really, but
human's your favourite and you like being
It depends if I can, you know, I've got 60 day cards, so I've got another 2 months to play the game. Will I be fed up after 2 months? Probably.
I'm still playing.
Yeah, you're a nerd.
You're not.
I'm proud of it.
So am I.
You're not proud of it not to play WoW. If you're a proper nerd, you could resist.
I'm a geek.
But you're a weak nerd.
I'm a nerd and I'm a geek. Right, so yeah, Burning Crusade. It's out, it's rocking, you'll get a copy. But you don't need to. If you're just playing standard WoW and you're quite happy in the place you
just
are at the moment.
Just buy the flipping game.
Yeah.
Just buy it.
Buy it.
I would buy it, but I didn't have enough money with me, so tough. Anyway, on to more important news.
Train Simulator 2!
Choo-choo!
Why do you need a train simulator? You can just go on a WoW and type in train, and you just run around, everyone chase each other going, choo-choo!
You can do that in WoW?
Yeah, you can actually run around doing the hand movement, and your character goes, choo-choo!
Oh my god.
And you can run around, and you get everybody following you, you can pretend to be a train. Have you never done that? Go, when you click on the speech bubble in the bottom left hand corner and it got all the emotes, you go to you've got the emotes where you can dance and do all that, then you've got the vocal ones where you can tell silly jokes and say hello
silly jokes,
and stuff
funny.
Like that. You just go in there and find the train, I think it is, it's called, and you can just go around going choo choo.
Okay, I'll make a note to do that later on.
Yeah.
More importantly, stop talking about WoW now.
Okay.
Train Simulator 2 has been re-announced.
Re-announced.
Yeah, because Microsoft canned the franchise, well, canned development number 2 back, you know, 3 years ago or something now, or 2 years. So yeah, they've announced on their website, which is Microsoft.com/games/train simulator. They've got a new website on here. There's a new train coming. Following the successful release of Microsoft Flight Simulator 10, the Aces Studio is using the same technology to develop a new version of Microsoft Train Simulator. Unrelated to our previous Train Simulator development efforts, this version will be an all-new product built on the Flight Simulator 10 platform. The culmination of 25 years of product development and technology.
Oh, that's good to hear.
That's basically all the information they've got at the moment.
Not that I like it.
Because Train Simulator 1... I only played it once. I only need to play it once. It was terrible. I mean, you start up thinking, wow, this is going to be like Flight Simulator. I mean, it's like so limited. And the user interface runs in full screen. Where's my window option? Flight Simulator 10 opens up in a window, lets you configure everything, and then goes full screen. Train Simulator should be like that.
I imagine it'll just follow the same sort of thing.
So yeah, Train Simulator 1 was disappointing. So Microsoft, if you're going to do number 2, do it properly. Which is good, because they've got the actual Flight Simulator team working on it now.
Yeah, so
because another team worked on Train Simulator.
Which would be good, because it means they'll just bring everything that they think is really quirky and cool about Flight Simulator 10 to Train Simulator, so everybody who likes using
trains.
Yeah,
so everyone who likes air traffic control will have that with trains. Yeah. Everyone who likes landing and takeoffs will have that with trains. So... it'll be like the train in Back to the Future, the flying train.
Well, you know what I mean? People will be, you know, you can have a go at trying to come in and out of platforms, you know, looking after the trains and
well,
stuff like that.
The main gameplay thing is keeping the timetable, I suppose.
Yeah, because it's the whole getting around. It would be really cool if they do, you know, like, you know, Flight Simulator is not just about flying planes. You've got helicopters, different types of aircraft, big aircraft and a small private aircraft.
Well, yeah, Train Simulator 1 had, you know, the Flying Scotchman, diesel locomotives, electric locomotives, and all
that
stuff. United,
they could have, like, you could go in and do the tube system.
Yeah, the tubes would be really good to make as well, because it's just an empty tunnel.
Yeah. And just go around and having to sort out being able to stop, because it's quite hard being a tube driver, and if you recreated the whole of London Underground and one of the undergrounds in America, that would work really well, because some of the underground does come out onto the rest of...
the network.
Yeah, so you would be able to be going underground, then coming out and going all over the place. So, yeah.
But yeah, Train Simulator 1 only had 600 miles of track. So what you really need is the whole of the UK network in the game, even if it's not perfectly simulated in all spots, because the 600 miles they had, they, you know, positioned buildings in all the right places and everything.
Mm.
I'm not really too bothered about that, as long as they just have all the track there, so I can drive from, you know, Yeovil Junction to Exeter.
Yeah, to Waterloo
because
Station.
That's fun. Waterloo, I want to go there. It's in London, mate. Last thing, a bunch of Londoners around there.
Up to the Scots. So, yeah, it would be quite good, because I must admit, it would be really nice into the future. You know, you could go onto a server where it could handle the graphics that we're pumping out at the moment, and you could be flying along in your plane, and you look down and see a train, and it's someone else.
It's somebody, some sad individual in their train.
And you're there, you're flying along.
And we're like, here in our fighter jets bombing the crap out of it. Eat that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need, combat flight simulator. With train simulator add-on.
Yeah.
Shoot the train. No, tank simulator, shoot the train. Just park in the middle of the track, wait for the train to crash into you. Just make sure you're in a really big tank.
Microsoft Tank Simulator.
That's what we need. Because all the existing tank simulators have been crap. Well, not crap, but not to the level of polish I would expect in such a game.
Not like that boat simulator we downloaded.
Well, somebody bought that the other day.
You're kidding me.
No, they actually bought it. Ship simulator.
And and it actually tells you how much you're going to have to pay to fix your ship, and all you do is go. And it's like the whole way that the ship was mounting the port side was basically the same as if you were in some sort of first person shooter and you got in some crappy boat and you were just trying to get somewhere to pwn someone.
I mean, that's what they really need in the demo. In the demo, they needed a big ship so you get a real feel for like the game. So I think one of the most important things about Ship Simulator is the large ships in it. Mm. You know, who cares about a little tugboat? Yawn. Anyone could drive a little tugboat.
You want to drive the Titanic?
Yeah. How long did the Titanic take to sink in real life?
Did you hear about the thing? They found some more information about the Titanic.
I want to know how long it took.
Not very long at all.
4 hours?
No, less than that. They've actually found out the reason why no one got off it.
No one got off it because there weren't enough lifeboats.
They sent these scientists down. They managed to find the bottom.
They sent scientists down?
Yeah.
To hold their breath?
In submarines. They finally found the bottom because the bottom was double layered of the boat, and they eventually found it. It was nowhere near the rest of it. And they've done analysing the metal. And originally, you know, like in the Titanic movie, they said that the boat went up, and as it went up so many degrees, the ass end fell off as it was basically nosediving into the ocean. And that's why both ends separated and went to different landing parts, because one half is at one place and one half is at the other. They've actually worked out that instead of the boat snapping off diagonally downwards, it snapped off that way. So what they said was, they worked out the reason why nobody got off, because lots of people said that it didn't take very long for it to sink, and a lot of people didn't believe that. They said that it was just the fact that it felt really quickly because they were in shock, you know, the boat's sinking and they're in freezing cold water.
Well, the times were recorded of how long it sunk, and it was fairly fast.
And they said that what happened...
But that's because it was, you know, a long gouge.
What they said was, most likely what happened was when they hit the iceberg, that it's actually mounted it and gone over the top. And when it came down, it sunk so far and stopped, so no. When they put the distress call out and that other boat was coming, no one got off because they believed that it had stopped sinking, because it had stopped. It wasn't sinking anymore. It actually had come to a standstill and was floating, so it wouldn't move anymore, and you couldn't sail it without sinking it anymore. But it was a life raft in itself. And what they've said is...
Until it fills up with water and then
what happened
sunk.
Was the inside crushed and it broke the other way around. So it basically snapped like that. That's the boat. It just kind of went like that. It literally just went straight under without any warning and no one had a chance. And then fell apart underwater with the way that it snapped in two. Because the top part crushed and buckled. That crushed and that bit tore apart and snapped the boat in half. And as soon as it snapped, it just went straight under. So no one
I don't think that matches up with the evidence, really, because, I mean, it was obvious the ship was sinking. It was filling with water.
Oh, yeah, it sunk so far down, and the tension pulled on the beams in between underneath the middle smokestack.
And by the time, you know, once you've got the deck at the water level, that's it. You know, you were going down, it doesn't matter.
Oh, but they said was the top of the water never got that high up. It actually had sunk halfway down into the water, and then all of a sudden the bottom part tore and it just went further into the water, and it happened so quickly no one had any time to react.
Well, they have tons of time to react. The trouble is there weren't enough lifeboats.
Oh yeah, they said that there's not enough lifeboats, but they couldn't understand why everybody stayed on the boat because not all the lifeboats were used.
Well, it's the regular thing, and we don't want to share the boat with those losers. Those losers can stay there. And then they lock all the, you know, the low-class people.
Oh, that was just in the film. To be honest, they did say that they were...
Oh, yeah, right. Like, they would let all the lower-class people up with all the rich people on the deck at the same time. Yeah, right. You'd have a flipping class war going on, mate.
Yeah. They actually said that...
This is 1912.
They did believe that they would
The bourgeoisie would have died.
They said that they... believed that the other boat would have arrived before it would have sank, so but no, it's quite interesting.
Well, the thing is, if you're on a boat,
you want to be off, you know, it's sinking. Most people would be.
No, my reaction would be, I can't see it sinking. No, I'm not getting off it.
It's not sinking. Get me to my port. Where's my dinner? Right, enough of train simulator
or the Titanic simulator.
Titanic simulator. Try and crash Titanic wherever you can.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say is you have to sink the Titanic faster than in real life. That's the objective of Ship Simulator.
Crash it into the Twin Towers!
We'll just sail it right into Ireland. Take this.
You mount Titanic up onto Liberty Island with park it right next to Statue of Liberty. We've hit an iceberg. No, you haven't. You hit the Statue of Liberty. Same thing.
Even better.
Score extra points. You've just unlocked a hidden level. Now you can float around in the Statue of Liberty.
And it's got a rocket on it, so you can actually crash it into buildings as well.
Shoot missiles from the hand.
Floating along like this and rocket fights from them. That's what we need, man. That'd be a good game.
Anyway. Next.
A good game.
And something to play a good game on.
Xbox 360.
What would you be playing Train Simulator 2 on, but nothing but else?
Well, I won't be playing it because I'm not getting it.
Well, no, neither would I. But for those people that will be, you'll be playing it on the platform that will be out in 8 days' time. What would that be?
Xbox?
No.
Eight days, 4 hours, and 20 seconds, exactly.
Till Vista. Oh yeah. It's gonna be good. So.
It's gonna be good. Yeah. What, you a fanboy or something? Vista's got so many problems with it. The import thing from a camera, terrible.
Yeah.
Awful. In Windows XP, you plug a camera and you get the import tool. You can see the pictures on the camera.
Mm.
Windows Vista, you just have the option to import all the pictures. And that's it.
Really?
So we need to fix that. Luckily, I just put the memory card in, so I just get the Windows Explorer dialogue up.
Oh, that's what I do, because we both got the...
the Groovy monitor.
Groovy monitor with a card reader and USB hub built in the back of it.
Side.
Well, you access it from the side.
Oh, no, Killy Pants Mafia was in the chat and I didn't notice.
Hello! Kill your pants...
Yeah.
Right.
So what do you want to know about Windows Vista?
Right, let's sort out the RAM issue, because I've come over to us because lots of people have been like, is your computer Vista compatible? Are you ready? Scan your Vista and all this.
Scan your Vista? Hell, you want a pal?
And a lot of people are getting a bit worried because they're like, well, this is how much RAM it means. Is there going to be anything left for anything else?
No.
Is Vista going to hog your RAM? So we're going to talk about RAM usage and your choice, because Vista is coming out in many flavors. Many flavors indeed.
Yes, yeah, so what do you want to know?
Right. Starting off, we'll answer the question you've already answered for me earlier that I bugged you about is... I can't remember what the question was that I was asking earlier as well. But RAM usage.
No.
They're not. If it says that it wants a gig, it doesn't necessarily take up all of that.
Ooh,
does it?
Flashy.
It is quite nice, isn't it? That.
Yeah, it's a nice website. I was just trying to find the requirements for it.
What was that question I was asking earlier? Where we were really getting into depth about?
You were going on about RAM.
Beforehand.
RAM was the first thing I heard you say.
Right. Should have really written it down. I had this really cool question and he was starting to answer it and then he said, no, we'll talk about it in the show, but now I've forgotten.
32-bit, 64-bit.
Yeah, 32-bit, 64-bit. Let's start off with that. Basically, we've had a look on a website looking at the prices, so we'll go in and we'll start with here. So,
we're looking at software.
So you've got your Vista Home Basic, Premier and Ultra.
Premium. Home Premium.
Premium. It's not Pro, it's Premium. So we were looking at it and you can get yourself your standard box which comes upgraded or not upgrade.
Let me cover this.
You go for it, go on, you're the man.
There's, like with previous releases of Windows, there's two types of things you can get. There's a retail box or there's an OEM box.
Mm-hmm.
OEM stands for Original Equipment Manufacturer. So if you're like a small business making computers for people, you get an OEM version.
Mm.
Or if you're a geek, you probably get an OEM version because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So a retail version has a few differences. One, it comes with 32-bit and 64-bit in the box. You get support from Microsoft, whatever that's worth. And, yeah, stop pointing at the screen. I'll address that in a sec.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can transfer the license from one machine to another
mm-hmm.
with a retail version. With an OEM version, you get no support from Microsoft. All support comes from whoever you got the OEM license from. So good luck getting support on how to do whatever from whoever. Like overclockers.co.uk, for example. It's also tied to the machine it's installed on forever. So you can't, if you throw your machine out, you can't transfer the license. The license is stuck on that machine for all eternity.
To a point.
Well, no. That's what the end user licensing agreement says.
But you could just...
It can be installed on one machine.
But if you uninstalled it and reinstalled it onto another machine, they wouldn't really know, would
they? That would violate the license.
But they wouldn't know. Because it's just the same as, like, every time I rewipe my freaking hard drive and reinstall Windows in and get it re-licensed.
Activation and licensing are different.
Right.
Activation is more flexible than what the license allows, simply to annoy...
Does the license have anything connection with my computer as such? Or is it just...
Did you buy your computer, and did that computer come with Windows XP?
Yes.
That copy of Windows XP can never leave that computer. Never ever.
Damn it.
If you want to move it from machine to machine, buy the retail version.
Okay.
Okay, so what Adam really wants to know is the difference between 32-bit and 64-bit.
Mm-hmm.
You see that book up there on my shelf, Code? Read that. Okay, that would give you an idea.
Alright.
Although that deals with like 4-bit and 8-bit because it's really basic.
What do I need? Does my computer
32-bit? Unless you want the better security in 64-bit, i.e. patch guard, or unless you want to run applications that consume vast amounts of memory, like 4 gigabytes, well, 2 gigabytes and up, basically, 32-bit is fine. I will migrate to 64-bit ASAP because I'm a geek who needs the latest stuff and I want patch guard on my system because patch guard rocks, but I have to wait for my TV card drivers to be compatible because they're only compatible because drivers are 32-bit or 64-bit.
Right.
Comprende? But what the actual difference is, you know, computers start off as like 4-bit.
Yeah.
Then you got 8-bit, 16-bit. DOS was 16-bit.
I've just never had it thrown in my face before on my computer as DOS, and having to make a decision on which one do I get.
MS-DOS was 16-bit. In that you've got, I don't know, what was it, 64K of address space? And then they did a few hacks to get around that. And then we actually had the 32-bit operating system, Windows 95, which started, you know, Win32. And then you had 4 gigabytes of address space. 64-bit will support, I think the actual address space on the CPU is 16 terabytes. But Windows Vista will probably only support up to like 128 gigabytes.
Mm. What about XP? Is that in
64? XP is 32-bit and 64-bit.
Right. So my home version is most likely...
It's 32-bit.
32-bit.
It will be, unless you actually went out and bought 64-bit, it'll probably be 32-bit.
So if I got 32-bit Vista...
32-bit is old, but it's the most compatible at the moment.
Right.
Because all the drivers are 32-bit. You can't use 32-bit drivers on 64-bit Windows. You have to use 64-bit drivers.
But can I use 64-bit drivers on a 32-bit window?
No.
So eventually if I get... I can buy
you
Vista.
You can use 32-bit applications on Windows 60, on Windows X64 because you've got Windows on Windows. Wow. So if you ever look in the task manager and you see WoW running, it's running a 16-bit application.
Mm.
Like The Sims has a 16-bit installer. That right. wouldn't run on 64-bit because you can't have Windows running on Windows running on Windows.
Mm. Okay.
Well, I suppose you could, but it would be mental.
What would you recommend me getting?
If your hardware is all compatible with 64-bit, go 64-bit.
How would I find this out?
go around and have a look. Install 64-bit, see if it works.
And if he doesn't, say, oi, you gave me the wrong one, and send it back to him.
Well, if you get retail one, you get both the discs in the box.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So if you...
Oh, that's why there's no 64-bit on the retail one on this website. It's just...
Yeah, if you buy the retail version, you can install either one. So you can install 32-bit today, and a year later you decide to install 64-bit, you can go ahead and do that.
Well, that's a bit more interesting. Is that what they've given you? You've got both with your version. So you haven't really got OEM version, you've just got standard version minus box.
The one from the beta is a full retail product without a box, with this key and notepad somewhere. But it's a retail key.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
That's cool, man.
So I'm thinking more towards retail now, after all that. There seems to be a lot more
retail.
A lot more cons to going OEM bar price.
Well, that's why it's cheaper.
But with everything moving across, I might find myself with an outdated version of a brand new operating system.
32-bit won't be updated.
And only no time soon.
You won't see 64-bit become the primary system you buy computers with until you hit 4 gigs of RAM. Mm. So give it 18 months, 2 years. And then you'll see 64-bit. You go into PC World and you get a 64-bit computer. Yeah. You're talking 2 years, like minimum, really.
Have to give it some consideration.
Unless you're buying, a high-end Uber gaming PC, in which case they're probably trying to flog 64-bit.
I have to say to myself,
anyway,
how long is my PC going to last? Am I just going to leave it as it is and use it as a secondary PC?
But of course you need a 64-bit processor.
Yeah.
Have you got one of those?
Well, mine will be the one that came with it. So
what's that?
It's a Pentium 4.
Pentium 4, 32-bit.
So 64-bit only started with Duo.
Athlon 64. Then there were some late Pentium 4s, but I'm not sure if they were branded as Pentium 4s. I don't know because I lost track of Intel at that point in time. Athlon 64s, hence 64 in the name. All the new post-Pentium 4 chips, and some of the late Pentium 4s probably as well. But I doubt yours is one of those, because they went off the whole Pentium brand for like a while. Mm. And then they just dished it and went for the Core 2 Duo and Core Duo and Core this and Core that.
Well, in that case, because I'm not updating anything majorly big like that. Monkey. So.
But yeah, this machine's going 64-bit the second I have drivers for my TV card.
Cool. So what are their choices? Let's have a look.
I mean, choices. Well, you can either buy a copy or you can...
choice a copy. You've got Home Basic, Home Premium, Ultimate. Prices are retailing from...
You've got Business Edition as well, Enterprise Edition, Starter Edition, and the N Editions for Europe, which don't have Media Player.
Yeah.
But nobody actually sold any of those.
If we just look at classic retail version...
Retail version comes in two editions as well, upgrade and full.
Yeah.
Upgrade requires that you have the previous, like Windows XP, installed on your machine. Mm. And then it upgrades it to Vista.
Which I could probably buy, but do I really want it? Because if I bought the upgrade version, if I wipe my hard drive, that means I've got to put XP back on, then upgrade it, doesn't it? Yeah, don't want to go around the houses that many bloody times.
Well, Windows Vista is not the system you'll be installing all the time. I don't expect to reinstall this once I go 64-bit until the next version of Windows. Because this system is reliable. I've only had to format this machine twice in the last week. That's all. Reliable.
So you're looking at for... Stop doing that. I can't see the screen when you make the groovy thing go round.
Groovy.
With basic... The full basic 32-bit.
Okay, home basic, waste of money. Don't get it.
Yeah, you're looking at $149.99.
You don't have Aero Glass. Media Center. You don't have.
It is basic. It is just an operating system.
It is a cheapo budget £100 computer operating system.
It's something you want if you're wanting to put an operating system onto a drone computer that's accessing a network that someone's going to have Office on and just do word processing.
No,
at work.
You don't even want it for that.
And someone, you don't want people playing with stuff. Then you've got for price range of premium, you're looking at $179.99. And for Ultimate, you're looking at a whopping $299.99.
Plus VAT.
Plus VAT, which is going to knock it up to $350.
$249.
$211 for Premium and $180 for Basic. So
what are you on about? Right, I'll read the prices. Fruit 2-bit OEM Vista Ultimate, £135.
Mm-hmm.
Same price for 64-bit. That's all you need to know, because Ultimate is the best version.
And if you wanted it, the Ultimate, but
you
retail.
You see this? Ultimate has all the ticks. It must be better.
Right, yeah, it's got everything. Everything. So, if you have got.
Yeah, business doesn't have a BitLocker. Only Ultimate's got BitLocker.
Mm.
Yeah, you were saying?
The RAM issues aren't as big as some people are making out to be, though, are they?
No, Windows says that we use more memory. Duh, which is why the system requirements are 512 megabyte and not 128 megabyte.
So it will only use its full gig of RAM requirement for the Ultimate version if you're doing
all
stuff.
No. The Ultimate version doesn't change memory usage. I mean, it changes it a bit, but we're talking maybe a megabyte, maybe a couple of megabytes. Aeroglass, for example, is using something like 50 megabytes. Oh no, it's using 22 megabytes of RAM.
But that's when
you're
using
that's the difference between Home Basic and Home Premium. 20 meg. Who cares?
You're what I'm saying is they're saying on the specs.
The thing is, all the things you get extra with it, Media Center doesn't take up extra memory till you run it.
That's what I'm saying. All this, the specs where they're saying you need a gig of RAM to run it.
Gig of RAM is recommended for all versions of Vista.
For running Vista, but as soon as you go into running another program, it's not running Vista 100% because it's sat in the background, it's running the program.
Well, no, Windows will back off memory.
Yeah.
If, you know, Windows will go out proactively and use memory. It will go preload Internet Explorer into memory. It will go preload Word into memory. But if you have an application that says, I need memory, it will just say, okay, overwrite all this address space. Because it's not important. I just put it there because it makes the computer faster.
Right.
So, you know, people look at the the memory usage in Task Manager and go, oh my God, my computer's using so much RAM. Duh, if it wasn't using RAM, that RAM would be doing nothing.
It's grabbing
waste of money.
It's basically, as long as you're not doing anything, it'll grabs everything for anything that you want to do that is Vista orientated. Would you agree?
So no, system or anything on the system.
Yeah.
Like when I turn my computer on first thing in the morning, it loads Outlook up, it loads Windows Mail up, it loads Internet Explorer up, probably loads a few other things up as well, because it knows those are the applications I use the first thing I sign in on the morning. So before, with Windows XP would go to the disk, bring those applications from the disk when you click on it, when you click on the icon. Windows Vista brings them into memory at the times you sort of use them. So first log in the morning, I log on, I click the icon, it doesn't need to go to the disk to load up Outlook. It's already in memory.
So all this hoo-ha that I've been hearing on the net where people are just going, you're gonna need some more space because you're still needing space to run other stuff other than Vista.
Windows Vista will munch up, let's say, 200 megabytes more than XP. Which is why the requirements are about 200 megabytes more than XP.
So for argument's sake, friend of yours will go over a gig because you've got more than a gig, so obviously
exactly. If I put 20 gig in there, it will munch up all that.
Yeah,
it'll say, hey man, this guy's got 20 gig, oh my God,
what should we do with it?
Oh my God, I'm 32 bit, I can't handle that much.
I still think I might go for the upgrade and add an extra gig in, because at the moment it's not too expensive.
Well, so Catherine's machine runs with a gig in it, fine. She runs games, she runs Photoshop, fine.
Yeah.
My tablet runs with a gig in it. That runs fine. It runs just as fast as XP.
What has she got in her? She's got, same as you, they've got the Ultimate.
She's got, yeah, It doesn't matter. Like I said,
it doesn't matter.
The SKU doesn't matter. Ignore that.
Mm.
That, yeah, the effect that has on memory usage is minimal. Minimal. Unless you're running like Windows Vista Starter for like third world countries with like 2 meg of RAM.
So yeah, Vista. It's looking good. Still has its problems.
There's also a lot of FUD going around about DRM. It's on my blog. It's all nonsense.
DRM.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Digital rights management. Nasty stuff.
Right.
But it's like FUD going around that Windows Vista won't play your music CDs. Oh, won't it? Well, mine is. Mine must be broken. Yeah, so if you've read an article about how Windows Vista sucks because of the evilness of DRM, and DRM is embedded in the platform. DRM's embedded in Windows XP. Windows XP follows all the DVD DRM stuff.
Mm.
You know, Macrovision on the outputs, blah, blah, blah. Windows Vista only uses the evil DRM. The new evil stuff. Evil.
Evil.
When content uses it, and it only affects that content. So if you've got, if you're watching like an HD DVD film, 5 years time when it's using this copy protection, and you run a music CD in the background, it won't touch a music CD. Because a music CD is just a normal music CD. So yeah, all that was FUD. So go to my blog and read more about that.
You heard it here first.
Well, no, I've had it on my blog for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, but they didn't hear it, they read it.
Well, no, they probably heard on some other podcast.
On another pod. But we're not a podcast.
We're a blogcast.
We're a webcast, as you put it.
Yeah, webcast. Yahoo Messenger for Vista.
Yahoo Messenger. Cool.
It looks good.
What does... So, question for... myself when it comes to Messenger.
Question for yourself. Yeah. I'll carry on talking to yourself while I just sit over here.
Messenger on it on Vista. What does it come with? Does it come with its own...
Doesn't come with any messaging client.
Whatsoever. Not like XP where it came with a bog standard one. Here, have a play, but it doesn't do anything.
Windows Messenger was a good thing, actually.
The standard
it's
one.
It's a lot better than that bloatware MSN Messenger. Bloated. But Windows Vista comes with a link to download Windows Live Messenger, and that's it.
Right, so it doesn't have one already on there.
Nope, if you go to the Welcome Center, somewhere on here there should be a link to download stuff. Nope, must have already taken it off because I've installed it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So what else do you want to know?
Windows Vista shows... what was that word saying?
Resilience.
To bad drivers.
Yeah. In Windows Vista, a lot of the stuff has been moved out of the kernel space into user mode. So this is from my tablet PC. This is the piece of junk, no, piece of crap, NVIDIA driver, which is crashing on my system. But on Windows XP, this would result in a blue screen. On Windows Vista, it just says, I've restarted your display driver.
Like that.
And it, you know, the screen just blinks on and off for a second.
Well, it plays around with it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, NVIDIA.
ATI Thanks graphics cards drivers. What are they like for...
Solid.
They are solid.
They've been solid for a year.
And those are out on their website, ready to get down.
I just use the ones that...
They, or do they
that come with Windows? I mean, you'll get the latest ones over Windows Update anyway.
Right.
Because so, Windows Update can now push out drivers with control panels and all that stuff.
So that's cool. So, right.
But if you've got an NVIDIA card, I highly recommend replacing it with an ATI card because NVIDIA's drivers suck.
Mm, like I have as well.
Like that. Which I've spent dozens of hours messing around with to get it to work even remotely well.
Is it possible to get an ATI notebook graphics card for that? Or is that sort of...
Well, not for that, because that's, you know, embedded on the motherboard.
Oh, one of them, is it?
Yeah, it's a tablet.
Mm.
You're not going to have a PCI card in there, are you?
No, true.
It'd be cool if you did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw, I think it was Asus, they have an external graphics card for a laptop. So you plug it into the mains and it just boosts the graphics performance. It's got like a AGP or PCI Express slot in it, and you put a graphics card in there.
Really?
And then the notebook can use that instead.
Portable graphics card, I like that.
Well, it's like that portable sound card that Creative had for like 10 minutes and they dropped it.
So basically what you're saying is a box that you can slot in.
It's a box
that you
like
can slot
yay
in
big.
Any graphics card you can buy from retail.
Plugs into your computer and plugs into the mains. So when you're like, you can have decent graphics performance. Then you just unplug
it. Does it come
computer
with a graphics card
on.
Or is it a box to put a graphics card?
Don't know if it comes with one.
So it's an interface for you to plug in.
I just literally read the first paragraph of the article. Because it was like, who cares?
That's pretty cool if you want portable gaming. It's not majorly portable.
Well, it's not portable because you have to plug it in.
No, but you know what I mean. You want to be able to take your games console somewhere else. I'm actually pretty good if you want to do LAN parties and you're like, well, I'll take my laptop, but it's not as powerful as my desktop. Now it could be. Buy yourself the same graphics card, bump up the RAM, and you're away.
Yeah, indeed.
So Vista out in 8 days. It's time to upgrade. Steps of up.
Well, yeah, look at this. It says on overclockers.co.uk, all versions of Vista OEM have arrived into stock. All back orders are shipping today. So they're shipping it now.
Cool. I don't get paid till next Wednesday.
Yeah, you owe me 20 quid.
Yeah, which will come on Wednesday. I'll wait until Western to give it to me. And I've got to wait till O2 give me back my £95.
Right, so what else have we got for the show?
Yawning. Installing it, is it going to be... It's pretty simple with the whole driver setup. Do I have to go get my drivers from somewhere else, or will Vista do the drivers thing
okay,
for me?
Okay, on the Microsoft website, you have got Training Simulator. No, wrong tab. You've got the upgrade advisor thing. Here we go. If you go to windowsvista.com and click on the get ready link, you've got the Windows Vista upgrade advisor. Download this application, put it on your machine, run it, and it will say, I don't know what this driver is, I've got no data about it. This driver you need to go to whoever get the driver from, or say I don't know or whatever. But it'll let you, you know, work out what's what.
So I'll go get that, put it on my computer, and it will tell me what I have on there already that's okay.
It will say, yeah, you meet the specs, blah, blah, yeah, I've got driver shortage components, yeah. This thing might not work, though, like a webcam. You might have to go hunt for drivers or whatever.
Right, but obviously you're going to have to keep in mind where the drivers came from, because when you put Vista on, the drivers will be gone.
But Windows Vista comes with something like 25,000 drivers
preloaded already.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That a lot of my drivers I've just got off the net. They're not exactly what's on CD, apart from the.
Well,
ATI
when you install Vista, it'll just throw all those drivers away anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it'll be starting again anyway. But it will also look at everything I've got plugged in and say
but
what's not.
The advantage with the drivers built into Windows Vista is they've been thoroughly quality checked.
And they work.
Yeah, they're all signed, and so on.
So
I mean, if there's a driver with Windows Vista that doesn't work well with the hardware, it doesn't get installed. It uses a generic driver. That thing, when I installed it on my tablet with the GeForce 5200, it knew that NVIDIA's drivers were crap, and it just installed a generic VGA driver.
Mm.
So it'll go automatically for, like, you know, most reliable.
So I don't have to do the same thing that I do when I reformat my hard drive with XP Home.
XP's only got like 5,000 drivers on it.
So it's not like before.
And they're all 5 years old.
Yeah, because whenever I put in, as soon as I've installed, it's like, right, now I've got to install the drivers from a scanner, install the drivers for to make the sound card work. That's not the sound
you,
card.
You need to install Creative drivers, because Creative force you to go to their website. They don't let Microsoft bundle the drivers.
Well, I don't have Creative. It's the sound is put through the processor on the Intel chip on the AC97. Yeah, it's put through there and got
internal jobby.
Yeah, so would I have to go get the drivers for that, or Vista?
Vista's probably gotten with them.
Yeah, the ATI graphics card, am I going to have to grab it? So I wouldn't even have to get the disc out of the box for that.
No, you don't want to install the ones on the disc anyway.
Yeah.
Because you won't get Aeroglass. You'll just get basic. because you need Windows Display Driver Model drivers.
Right.
Not XP drivers.
So basically, try not to put them as many drivers as you can and just go through...
Just install Windows.
And see what happens.
Yeah, just do it.
And then see what works, and if not...
And then if it doesn't work, phone me and I'll bloody sort it out. Okay?
Not anyone else, you're not allowed to phone him, only me. We'll have everybody listen to Gamercast going, Paul, how'd you...
Right, on Windows Vista, you've got this thing called Windows Mail. It's the default mail client for email and stuff. Mm-hmm. You've got this thing on the side called Microsoft Communities, which are news groups. Go post a question in there somewhere.
And that all comes with it. That is pretty cool. I like that.
Well, yeah, let me think. Where have I got a raw install somewhere? I don't have any. But yeah, when you actually, you know, set up for the first time, you won't have that or that or that. You'll have this. You'll have a link for that. You click on that, and it shows you all the different groups. Vista.general, subscribe to that. And then you can just post a message saying, my Windows don't work.
And everything crashed down.
No, I just pressed Alt Tab.
Yeah.
Chill, man, chill.
No, I meant it, everything comes crashing down onto the toolbar and hides.
Run away.
That also means.
That, means what? We've been going for an hour and 16 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap up the show, but it also means I think for the live people next time we might have to set it up so we can show everybody the desktop while it's playing a video, because that activates next Gamercast, won't it?
No, next Gamercast is on the 28th.
I thought yours would activate on the 20th. Oh no, it's the
30th.
Oh shit, I keep forgetting it's the 30th, not 26th. I've got 26th Jan in my head for something else. Yeah, it's the 30th. What the hell's coming out on the 26th then? Not the 26th down in my head for something.
Okay, Adam. Thank you for sharing the insights of your scary brain.
Brain scary. Right.
So is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
You can email questions, feedback, insults to Adam.
Yay.
To feedback@gamercast.net or post them on the blog. We like posting on the blog.
Yeah.
Because that's easy.
Just shove yourself.
And it also means I have to read it because I have to moderate all the comments on there.
Yeah.
So it means I guaranteed read it. Unless I just delete it.
I noticed that because I got a post off.
Yeah, the blogs, all the comments by default are moderated.
Yeah.
Because you get so much spam.
Yeah, I like that because it was like. I went to read the comments and they were like, no, they're not there. And then I logged in and I was like, oh, moderate. This is new.
Yeah, it's called a feature. So yeah, you can do that. You can also post on the forums, portalforums.net. If you've got questions about Windows Vista, send them in and I'll answer them, especially if they're like highly technical. Like, how much FUD is in that stupid article?
Yeah.
Or paper, because it's supposed to be, you know, technical.
On my note, added an extra page onto Noob Hunter, still under construction. If you go onto there and click on the blog and go to Paul's blog system and put a post on the entry output for Noob Hunter, any ideas or any kind of like feedback for that would be brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, so we will see you next week.
Next week, where we'll have some more
stuff.